Welcome to Poultist. I'm your host, Patty Long, and today I have our longtime friend, Angela Portillo. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Angela. I'm a fine arts student here at Parsons.
Is that a brain fart?
Am I supposed to say, like, what other girls said as their major?
They just said that they're, like, what their majors are. Sometimes they mention Parsons, sometimes they don't.
Okay. Okay, well, drop that. I'm an integrative design major.
Do you want to explain to the people what integrative design means?
Basically, I like to think of it as a BBA student, but just an artsy one. An artsy BBA student that can get down and dirty.
And do you want to explain why you decided to go that route instead of...
Well, I was in fine arts, but I was having trouble expanding my horizons, I'd say. I wanted to be more well-rounded in the sense entrepreneurial ways and, like, strategy-wise. I just didn't want to stick to, like, fine arts. Because I am, at the end of the day, like, a painter, but there's a business side of me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explore that, hence why I'm integrated.
Yeah, it's like a new, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Parsons curriculum, I guess, it's like this new thing that came into, like, existence a few years ago. It's like a relatively new thing, I feel
Yeah, I think it's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's still like a work in progress, but I'd say this whole school is a work in progress.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be explaining to Angela my concept again, because it's good practice, and if I'm talking to people who've like never heard or like know me before, they wouldn't get it. So I thought it'd be like a good practice to just in every episode that I reintroduce my concept. So here we go. So so it's all based around this idea of passing knowledge from a female lineage of family members. So, like, something you've picked up from your mother and she picked up from her grandmother, this exchange of knowledge that gets
passed down
or, like, being used today in the form of whoever I'm speaking to. And from these conversations with women makers, I create intimate wear that weave a little bit of their history or their work into these intimate wear. And I've chosen these, I guess you can say Western form of intimate wear, like the corset, because a lot of these exchanging of information, I focused on herbal medicine, and that form of treatment is close to the skin. So it's very, like, intimate, direct contact. So I wanted to make something that's like that, and I thought the corset would be a great idea. Plus, Andy Warhol wore a back brace for most of his life because of health issues, not for the look. So I thought it parallel really well. And I also...
Is Andy Warhol, like, an inspiration to you?
No, I just found out about it when I was researching about corsets.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he was very secretive about that.
Yeah, explains all the black turtlenecks.
Yeah, Andy Warhol is very... special.
Special.
Very, very special.
I'd say, like, a lot of artists are
special. But he's the first weird celebrity. He's like a Young Owl. You know that rapper? Young Owl blah blah.
No. I'm not very good with rap.
What? Yes. No, he's like a parody rapper.
Oh, okay. And I would not know. I just know, like, Biggie and Tupac, and then maybe a little bit of contemporary, but rap hasn't been, like, a big part of that, like, much of a big part of my life that I would, like, know names. I might know
Weird
the sound.
Yankovic.
Oh, Weird Al. Okay.
I said that.
It's been a long morning. He's a rapper?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a rapper.
I just thought he does.
I thought he's just, like, a parody performer.
Same thing, right?
I wouldn't. I don't know.
Oh my god. Instruments. Vocals, accordion, theremin.
Oh my god. Okay. Oh my god. I did not know about that about Weird Al. They kind of do look alike.
Like I'm saying, like a first, like, non-normal, not seen everyday celebrity type.
Oh, okay.
I guess like a Lady Gaga.
Circa early 2000s Lady Gaga.
Yeah, without the costume.
Yeah.
And extravaganza.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to have Angela talk about her background in, like, female empowerment through knowledge. If you want to start with, we previously recorded before, but we're catching up so much that I thought we'd do it again.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
But do you want to start with, like, your grandmother or... And how it, like, relates to your work?
Well, basically, I grew up in a family that's very tight with each other and a very religious family. So my grandmother has passed down that whole, like, caring and loving about each other and maintaining ties. And, holding on to where you've come from. So basically, like, for example, my thesis right now has to do with preserving, like, or encapsulating memories or a sense of identity, which reflects my own, because as a child of an immigrant and as a, like, brown person, I always struggled with a sense of identity, like, my habits, who I am, what I like. I still, to this day, I still, like, I'm wishy-washy.
Yeah.
One day, like, I'll like red, the other day I'll like blue. But, like, so yeah, so that's why I, like, focused that around my thesis, because I just wanted to, like, hold on to, like, everything my grandmother and my mom and, like, any other family member that I've held on to close, the knowledge they've shared with me. And how, like, I want to preserve that and never let it go and make it tangible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to think of Harry Potter when he goes, I may not be explaining this, like, very clearly, but when he goes with Dumbledore and they're looking at this, like, bowl of, like, dreams or, like,
oh, yeah,
souls or something.
Uh-huh. Memories,
yeah,
or something, yeah.
And he can grab it and, like, uh-huh, but it was tangible. And, like, I like that whole, like, idea of that, because I mean, you could tell, like, a friend, like, oh, I love my grandmother and, like, I spend such a good time with her, but you can't really, like, they can't really see what,
yeah,
you mean, you
it's
know
not tangible,
I mean. Yeah,
yeah.
So by creating these objects, I'm like, ah, here's my grandma.
So you're kind of like freezing time in these, where, how are you, like, freezing it
with epoxy resin? It's like this preservative,
yeah. Thing. Is there a reason you chose resin?
It was the best type of preservation, and it wasn't so deadly. Because I was using, mm-hmm, polyester before, and wow, I, like, stank up my apartment. Like,
oh, does polyester, I've never worked with polyester, does it have, like, the same, like, look as resin does?
Yeah,
or?
It's, like, see-through plastic.
Oh.
But the smell was, like, fucking, sorry.
It's
was
okay. This isn't an explicit
beep
podcast
was,
anyways.
It smelled like nail polish.
Oh no.
And it was all around the apartment. I remember my roommate came and she's like, is this poisonous? And I was like, no.
But resin is pretty poisonous too. I had, yeah, this one jewelry teacher. Hi Olivia. She would, like, she's freaked out about resin. Like, she,
yeah, it's not,
was like, it don't use it if you don't have to and do it outside. She just really scared me about using resin.
Yeah, if you don't know how to use it, definitely.
Yeah.
But I've always been the type that I like to get dirty. So, like, mm-hmm, when I'm painting, I got paint all over me. Like, I,
yeah,
don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I get resin on me, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I may die, but it's for the art.
Yeah.
There's, what is it? I think it was Ned's classified show or some show, but it was, it says, it isn't painting without the pain.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of art requires something dirty. Just, maybe not like computer. I mean, maybe you're like eating around your computer and it gets messy, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So speaking of like making, what's your like ideal kind of wear when you make? Like, what do you like to wear?
I always like to be in my underwear because I like to be, I like to be, I like to feel free. I like air coming in and out, you know, like through my armpits, through my legs, through my neck. I like being free. I even like wearing sports bras, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And underwear. And occasionally I go with my band shirt or graphic tee.
Mm-hmm.
And get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
By dirty, this means like art making. BTW.
get your minds out of the gutter, people. That's honestly when we first recorded that and you said that, I was like, yes. Because it just, it ties in all together. Just like adding on to things I've like noticed with most people I've talked to on this podcast. They're just trying to get in touch with their roots again and trying to find themselves. We're at an age where we're kind of reflecting on how we grew up and trying to hold on to it, but also trying to find our like own direction. It's just something I've realized that a lot of people are doing their thesis about. So my thought was I would photograph you guys like in your workspace if you like how your workspace looks, or if you have like a particular ideal setup you'd like. I would tailor it to whatever your ideal workspace is. So just you and your workspace working. That's the ideal, like, image. Final image, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty profound. I'm down.
Yeah. That way, it's more just authentic. It'll give, like, there'll be, like, funny or really cool, like, background details that people can see in the photo as well. And plus, I'm a poor college student, so renting out space is not ideal.
Yeah, no. It's more authentic.
Yeah. And it allows, like, I know that when fashion or the fashion thesis, when we show our work, it tends to be very, like, I don't want to say everybody, but it tends to be a little disconnected because it's just this backdrop. And then these people with proportions that are not the real woman proportion, and it seems disconnected from all the other majors and schools at under the new school. And I think that's why a lot of people see fashion like as trivial. I had a professor, he was telling us that he bumped into an illustrator professor, and they didn't know each other. So the illustrator professor asked my professor, oh, what do you teach? And my professor said, oh, fashion. And he laughed at him. He literally laughed at him and said, wow, that's just so trivial. Yeah.
Welcome to Parsons.
Welcome to the world. I think most of the world sees us like that. But it's just, I think connecting people together would give these other schools or majors a sense of, like, what some of us are doing is goes beyond fashion. It doesn't just lie in the vanity materialistic world. Yeah. It's just something I've noticed. And I get a lot of comments like that from people who go to regular, quote-unquote, regular university, and they're like, God, you must, like, have so much time and, like, just paint whenever you want.
Yeah. I mean...
Right?
Yeah, people, they're like, what do you read about? What do you do?
Yeah.
Do you go to class? Do you have a test? Like, what?
Yeah, so.
And I'm like, you don't get it.
We think. We think. And we're actually, if anything, we're preparing for the real world more than they are.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because most of them don't even, like, intern or anything.
No, they don't. Or they just... Correct me if I'm wrong, but they just show up to class whenever they have a test, and that's fine. We get, like, our school is very strict about attendance,
mm-hmm.
and they just can show up for a test, and then miss the rest of the semester and be fine as long as they pass that exam.
Yeah, like, it gives me anxiety even, like, thinking of doing that here.
Yeah. Yeah. We get, like, these starfish certificates. That's, like, just letting you know.
I missed my third class yesterday. I was like,
we literally have to, like, schedule out days that we can't make it to class.
I know. Yeah, that's the
anxiety. It's literally work. Like when you're going to work and you gotta be like, hey, I'm gonna be out for this week because of this. Just letting you know, it's work.
You're right.
Anyways, so that was my little rant tangent about other people, how other people see, I guess, the design majors in general. I think that's also why Parsons doesn't really connect with the other schools under the new school. Like, I rarely see them. We rarely, like, are in the same circles. Maybe, like, sometimes I know some because I've been to high school with them.
Oh, that makes sense.
But that's about it. Even fashion itself is, like, a weird, like...
I'd say each major has its own niche.
Yeah?
Like, its own group.
Yeah. So, do... Like, so integrative, just stick with integrative?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Or whoever their first year friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because our major is so small.
Yeah. That's nice.
And we come from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine arts, fashion.
Oh, so these people kind of, like...
Yeah.
Selected a major, and then they were like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't belong here. And then...
But I want to do that major.
Yeah.
But in a...
I just want to expand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Cool. So that's integrative and Parsons. I guess another thing we can talk about... Not I guess. That sounds like half-assed. I'm going to edit that out. another thing I want to talk about is how, well, for me, my mom plays a large role in kind of empowering me because she has knowledge or, like, passed down knowledge of herbal medicine that's helpful for the female reproductive system. And she's always been very concerned about my reproductive system because she thinks it's not functioning how it should be, which, en contraire, I think it's fine. but she's always, like, trying to give me, brew me drinks or make me take some kind of tea or something to help, I guess, create heat or, like, qi. That's what they call, like, blood flow in Chinese medicine, in my body because apparently my uterus is too cold. because my hands are always cold and my feet are always cold, so they thought.
Yeah.
So my mom's, I guess, her passing down of this kind of knowledge gives her power, and then in turn it's supposed to give me power because I can use it to my advantage, and then I can pass it on to my children, etc., etc. So I wanted to ask you if you had, like, something similar with mom, grandma, great grandma, or maybe even, I don't know, the male side.
Well, my hair has always been, like, hair in general has always been, like, the biggest attractive feature in our family. Like, you see our family members and everyone has, like, luscious, thick hair, black hair, because we're from Central America.
Yeah.
Mostly. We're all dark, but mostly, not everyone. But, ever since I was little, like, I remember going to the salon, getting a haircut, also getting my whole head shaved off, but it's because you want your hair to grow out voluminous. All these, like, whack methods that seem absurd at the time, but now you, like, you know, when you go online and you're like, natural remedies to do at home, it's like, oh, I grew up doing all these things, like, I didn't know that. So, like, I have so many memories of in Honduras, like, flying down during the summer and having to sit down in a plastic chair during, like, mm-hmm. the hot summer in the middle of the backyard, and my grandma come and, like, rub some lime on my scalp to, like, remove dandruff, and then she'd get an avocado, and I had to ask her, like, where the avocado came
involved. Yeah.
And put the avocado pulp, the green stuff, basically, on the tips to prevent mm-hmm. dryness.
Yeah,
but I just remember the painful process because, like, she'd brush your hair at the same time, and it's, you know, like, rip your hair off, no, like, oh, I'm sorry, that's, no, just rip it, and she'd wash my hair with cold water. But I mean, she did it, my grandma's done it, my grandma did it to my mom. my aunt did it to her daughter, which is, like, my cousin. Like, it's a thing in our family, and I'm sure, like, I'll probably do it to my daughter. Because I'll be like, oh my god, what if I don't? Like, what if then my kid has thin hair? Like, I cursed my family or something. Like,
question is, does your mom still do it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Does she do it, like, on herself?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Oh, wow. So how like, many times a year?
I'd say once.
Once?
Unless we're in Honduras, then we're going to do it, like, once a month.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You have to have my grandma around.
Oh, really? So grandma has to be there?
She likes to do it, I'd say.
Okay.
It's a way of, like...
Connecting?
Connecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really nice. It's almost like a ritualistic thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it takes time, and it's painful.
That's really interesting, because I don't think, I've never had anything to do with, like, hair. I think, I mean, not all Asians have this, but most people in my family, we don't really care much about hair, because it's, we don't really have problems with it. Mostly because we don't dye it, I think, and probably, like, some kind of genetic thing. Because whenever I go to the beach, and you know how you're supposed to get those nice mermaid waves?
Mm-hmm.
My hair stays flat. I'm like, there's no proof that I've been to the beach.
How? That does not make...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And my hair absorbs whatever product, like, anything works on it. Like, this is supposed to make your hair smooth.
Yeah, for it just all hairs.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Wow.
My hair I know a lot of people are going to be like, you have, like, why are you complaining about straight hair? Like, it's always straight. They're like, that for other people, you always want what you can't have.
Yeah. It was yeah, exactly.
But my hair has always been straight, and it's not, like, ideal most a lot of the times, because, like, straight means no volume.
Yeah.
It's just like, flat. I look like a wet dog. but I've never really had problems with hair. If anything, I have too much hair.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
Everywhere.
I mean, not everyone, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to remove all hair, except, like...
The eyebrows.
Of course, eyebrows. Eyebrows are so
the
important.
Top of the head.
I judge a person by their eyebrows. Yes. Yeah.
You're the top of the head, the eyebrows, unless you don't care about any of those.
Yeah.
The eyelashes, and then I'm good. Get rid of everything. Like, your vagina is supposed to have hair to protect, like, bacteria from coming in,
mm-hmm.
but it gets annoying.
Yeah.
I can do without.
We're in a new age.
So, lime, avocados, those are, like, I guess those are, is avocado a fruit? Those are we both, like, looked at each other and were like, but I guess.
It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable? Lime is a fruit, right?
Lime is a vegetable.
Vegetable? Okay. Oh, no, I don't have any.
Well, no, actually, it comes from a tree, you're right.
I mean, anyways. So I guess, like, both products are native to Honduras, you would say? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally everything we eat over there is avocado. And then lime is put on everything.
Yeah, a lot of my Latina friends are just big avocado fans.
Yep.
And I didn't grow up with avocado, so when I first had avocado, I was just like...
The thing is about... I'm actually allergic
sorry.
To it.
You are?
Yeah, but I still eat it.
Like, what reaction do you get?
Itchy.
Itchy?
Lips get puffy. Avocado is indeed a fruit.
Thank you for the quick Google. But, do you still eat it? That's like me with apples.
And lime is a fruit.
Okay, so these fruits are native to, I guess, most Latin America countries, I feel like. Maybe avocado more. Because a lot of my Latino friends. Maybe in Puerto Rico. I'm not sure about Puerto Rico. But,
yeah, they eat avocado.
They all do.
Like, everyone does.
Yeah. It's like a new, like, trend now anyways.
Yeah, it is.
But I haven't gotten into it. The only avocado I can have is in guac.
Because
I can't have it by itself.
You should try tortilla.
Yeah.
The avocado.
Uh-huh.
And salt.
Salt. I also judge mm-hmm. people when they order avocado on toast.
I could see why. It just sounds very pretentious.
I'm like, if you are going out to pay for something you can't make.
Yeah.
So.
Word.
So I'm always like, but I know a lot of my friends love avocado. Anyways, I also wanted to ask you, like, what you think of the fashion world. Like, what is your initial, I guess, perspective on how it works, or, like, what it consists of?
Well, I think it all has to do with supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And what's hot and what's not. Growing up, I always liked fashion, but I never had experience or anything. I mean, I grew up in a non-artsy family, so I'm as artsy as it gets in the fam.
Me too.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't really know anything, but, like, I liked colors. I like colors, and I appreciate craft.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever, like, coming to Parsons, it really opened up my world to fashion, because now I appreciate it as an art making and as art, and again, for its craft and dedication, of course. And just how, like, in demand it is. Like, for example, my career, like, if you look at my resume, it's all, like, logistics, fashion-related, distribution-related, like, mm-hmm. opportunities. And it's just because fashion is just so, like, on steroids right now. Like, it's so, everyone wants, I mean, I guess we need clothes. Like, we're not going to walk around naked.
Yeah.
But
we probably can't, because it's probably a law somewhere.
Yeah. But it just amazes me how easy it is to get in the, like, not easy to get into the fashion world, but how welcoming they are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not completely welcoming, actually.
What do you mean by, like what aspect are you talking about
when
you
say welcoming? As in, job-wise.
Okay.
Like, not technical design. Uh-huh. Like, for example, like, I'm doing logistics.
Yeah.
And there's just so many, like, business opportunities, I guess, in fashion mm-hmm. area. I mean, design and technical wise, like, that's more competitive, of course, mm-hmm. because that's what it's based upon.
Yeah.
But so far, like, that's opened up my whole, like, perspective of fashion, and that's how I've, like, learned more about mm-hmm. it. And other than, like, going to school here and, like, taking, like, textiles classes or silk screening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, like I said, I like to be a well-rounded individual, so I like to know all my skills.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant welcome, like, since your major is kind of, like, something new they probably never heard of. So when you said welcome, I thought they'd be like...
No, they look down at us.
Oh, really? Okay. That's not
good. Not look down, but, I mean, I'd say every major is going to be like, oh, who's this?
Yeah, especially when you're just like a newbie at a job, they're like, who's this?
Mm-hmm.
But how's your experience like doing these I guess interns or jobs?
Internships.
In like fashion, like
atmosphere. I said, surprisingly it's been okay.
Yeah.
Like it's easier than not easier, but it's not as like pretentious as like the art world, like mm-hmm. as in fine arts, like I tried art world opportunities, but it was just so like sacrificial. Like,
what would you do in these fine art
well, it was non-paid.
Oh no.
And it was just social media stuff.
Oh, okay.
Stuff that like it's like, okay, I guess older people don't know how to do, so that's why they're hiring interns. Uh-huh. And I didn't like that. And in fashion, they're actually asking you to help them.
Yeah. How have the people been like?
Which people?
In fashion.
They've been okay. I'm naturally like a solo. Mm-hmm. Solo. I always like to ride solo.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I mean, I'm friendly and all, and I love friends making and like groups and all. But when I'm at work, I'm very like, oh hi, okay, bye.
I'm like that too. But I think it's mostly because they're kind of full-time and we're kind of there once in a while.
Yeah.
And, like, we're not there with them 24/7. That might be one of the reasons why.
Thank God.
And we're also, like, probably significantly younger than them.
Yeah.
And there's kind of this, I don't want to call it hazing, but it's kind of this...
It is.
This intern versus, this intern phase where you have to go through what they had to go through to make it where they've been. So I guess, I think we get treated like that because they've had to go through it.
Exactly.
So, it's kind of this, not aggressive hazing, but like, low-key.
Low-key
hazing that we have to go through. And I'm pretty sure it's like that for a lot of fields. You gotta like start at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like Drake says.
I was just thinking that.
But yeah, it's just, yeah, I've had good and bad experiences in the fashion industry when I'm interning. I think after like doing an unpaid internship, I was like, I'm not doing anything.
No, yeah, unpaid is just so, no.
Yeah, and it's just them taking advantage of us who probably don't know any better when we're starting off. That's how it was when I did that first unpaid. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. And they kind of, like, under the table, I feel like, kind of thing. But going back to what you were saying about fashion being kind of welcoming, I think they are trying to expand more, especially, like, about sustainability. I know sustainability is, like, being really emphasized in fashion after,
I'd say it's more like teamwork.
Teamwork?
Yeah.
Yeah, teamwork is a big thing, too, but I also think it's a Western value that companies in I guess in America like to emphasize in general, like
yeah
working with people, open spaces.
Yeah, you're right.
And we like to ride solo, so we're just like, social anxiety. I just like to keep to myself, because most people I've encountered in the fashion world, they're like nothing like me.
Really? I just am lazy to talk to people.
I think the most similar thing is probably music. I would find that we listen to similar music with, like, these people I work with. But other than that, their personalities are just so different. And I think the age gap is so big that there's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, it affects everything.
Yeah, and they don't really try to connect with you because they're doing their work and they're busy all the time. And then you're, like, tired from school and classes. And then when you finally get to work or, like... you're going to work after classes, you're, like, exhausted. Too exhausted enough to, like, I guess, socialize with people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't like when you socialize them.
That's how I like it. You don't want to socialize? All right, that's music to my ears.
So that's how... Yeah, I think you've had similar experiences to me. I haven't found, like, somewhere that I was like, wow, I'd love to work here after I graduate. You have.
I was interning at TBF for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and wow.
What did you do?
It was just, logistics.
Okay.
It was just so, we're all, like, a big family, I guess. Like, everyone's friends with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The third floor will come to the second floor.
Are they, like, in Midtown?
No, they're in Meatpacking.
Meatpacking? Oh.
Between 10th and 9th, maybe on 14th Street. Yeah, they, but, like, 4 years ago or three.
Oh.
But, and it's very nice, and you get to see the level of commitment, that people have towards the company and how much everyone believes in it, and mm-hmm. how much DBF cares about her own company, because, like, I don't really know much about fashion politics.
Oh, boy, you don't wanna.
Yeah, but, basically, it's not that she's trying to retire, but, you know, she is older, and, like, she literally does so many things.
Like, I can imagine.
10 things at the same time. So, but you'll still see her show up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Where is blah, blah, blah? Where is this? We need to talk about this. Yeah, I have a meeting. Blah, 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 blah. And she's older, so she's yelling and half deaf. So, like,
yeah.
So it's just crazy seeing, like, her level of dedication. It's just so admirable. And, like, everyone's just admirable in that company.
Mm-hmm.
It's like walking into a stock exchange room and seeing a bunch of guys on coke and, like...
Yeah.
They're like, oh, money! Here it's like, ah, TBF!
So it's literally like the Devil Wears Prada scene where she's coming in. They're not scared. They're just like...
No, not scared. But yeah, she's the big boss.
Yeah, she's big boss. And I have yet to work for a company where there's like a woman in charge. Because I can imagine DVF, she's like boss lady. Super boss. And she probably, I feel like, values certain things that I would value because we're both women. Because I've been working under, like, these companies where, I guess, men are in charge, it's just maybe different. It's probably why I don't feel, like, an attachment or envision myself working there later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should definitely try it out.
Yeah. I, not to mention anything that gives us super anxiety, but do you... imagine yourself like what do you imagine yourself doing after college?
Definitely keep working, because gotta make guap. But other than hustling, I'm gonna be going to school again.
Oh yeah,
yeah, for production or distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Within the supply chain. Maybe stay here in New York, maybe go back home to Miami, and keep working in logistics, I guess, and keep making art. Hopefully, I want to start, like, a line.
Like, what kind of line?
I don't know.
Like, clothes?
Definitely clothes.
Okay.
I like to sleep a lot, and my Finsta name is Durmiendo, which is sleeping in Spanish, and I always liked that name. And growing up, I always, like, did little side businesses, like, with my designs and art. So, like, I'll, like, draw on, like, papers and, like, sell them or something. So, in high school, I, like, printed on T-shirts and was selling them in my high school. And I surprisingly made bank. So, like, that really inspired me. I don't know. That stayed with me. So, it's, like... I guess anything's possible.
So side hustle plus...
Yeah, definitely there's always going to be like a side project.
Side hustle plus, I guess, work? Or did you want to have like your own art making time in there?
I guess both. I'm going to try to mix it all in.
Yeah.
But if not, it's always nice
how
to
do your parents feel
have
about
a bunch
that?
Of things. What?
Like having, I guess, uncertainty.
Oh.
I mean, you do have a job, but like... I know that traditionally parents, like,
yeah,
expect you to have a one job.
I think they gave up on that when I told them I wanted to go to art school.
Okay.
They're like, okay, we don't know anymore. Like, we don't know about anything now.
My parents are still kind of trying to cling on to the idea that I will have a permanent job once I graduate, but...
Gotta tell them you're an artist.
I have been shifting a lot over the years. I don't think anybody hasn't, but I don't see myself like working in a traditional fashion setup, like an assistant designer or anything like that. Just because during these, I guess, internships, I've seen... they all look fucking miserable.
And
I don't want...
they're busy.
And they're busy all the time.
Don't have a life.
I don't mind being busy, but they just don't seem like they love it.
That's why having your own independent practice is nice.
Yeah. That's why...
That's always goals, of course.
Yeah, of course. And I know that you can't just, like, get out of college and have something like that.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's, like, later.
You have to, like, work for it. But I would at least... like, rather be working my ass off doing something I liked instead of just mind-numbingly, like, trying to create ideas for this other person that's in charge.
Totally, yeah.
So, yeah, I was thinking of costume design, something in production, or television. I don't know if people know from listening to the other episodes, but I'm very into film and music, so... I see, like, maybe dabbling into a little bit of both. Like, I am obsessed with television and film. Like, obsessed.
I get you.
Yeah.
So I was thinking along the lines of maybe costume design or like I said, production or something. But I don't know if I'm staying here, moving to LA for that. Yeah, it's all up in the air.
I wish you the best.
I'm so anxious. But hopefully something will happen.
Something will.
Also, I forgot to ask, but this is just like part of what I'm making. By the way, I made you a halter corset, so we're going to try that on.
Woo!
And I wanted to ask if you had like any pressure points you like to apply things on or massage when you're having like aches somewhere, like I guess like behind the ears or like the temples or the wrist or the back.
I crack my fingers.
You crack your fingers? Okay.
Ugh, but I don't have pretty hands.
I don't have pretty hands.
Yeah,
it's
but
about
I don't
real
know.
People though. I mean,
yeah, okay, fine.
I mean, if you, does like cracking your, some ASMR for you guys.
That's what cracking is.
Do you do it out of anxious?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And I've done it since I was little though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have your parents ever been like, don't do that?
Yeah. And I'm like.
I also do this double jointed thing that freaks them out.
Oh, I can't do that. My hands just go really up. Yeah, yours kind of did.
Yeah. And we both have really small hands.
And
let's see. Everyone compares my hands to theirs, and theirs is like.
It's just yours is so like petite looking.
Theirs is like two knuckles like longer.
We have similar hands. Like you see
oh, wait,
the wrinkles.
This is the wrong hand though.
You see the wrinkles? In Washington Park, they told me that means.
Do you read your left hand or your right hand, though?
You read your right hand
oh, okay.
for future.
Oh, okay.
And your left hand is your genetic hand. So, passed down.
Oh. So, like, it's supposed to tell you, like, about your parents, I guess, or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Like, this is your heart line.
It stops here, though. Am I gonna die?
No, this is your lifeline.
But it stops here, though.
No, it stops here. See, mine's very long. Lady, when she saw my hand, she's like, ooh, you're going to live a long life.
Wait, where?
All this.
Damn, does that mean I'm going to die early?
No,
I mean,
not
it
early.
Does extend
I've
here.
Seen people's hands that, like, right there. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell. I'm like, yo, you're going to die.
Oh, my God. That's. I've
and
never
you,
seen someone
you
like that, actually.
See. Who you're gonna marry or have kids here on the side too.
Like, what is this supposed to tell you? Sorry, we're like off.
Like here, like this is potential loves.
Wait,
yada,
but
yada.
I have like nothing.
No, you do. You have one there.
Does that mean I'm gonna like have a short?
No, I just think it means you'll have a partner later on in life. Do you see how
oh.
it reaches out? You see how it's out there?
Yeah.
I think that's what it
Wait,
means.
Is it this little guy?
It's or all those.
All those?
Yeah, I'd say so. Possibilities. Because I remember the lady was like, if you choose this guy, you won't have kids. If you choose this guy, you'll have kids. I'm like, what?
Oh my God, I heard from somebody that if you like compare your hands like this, and if it's a nice you, you'll have a good looking partner. But if it doesn't, you're fucked.
How are you?
Okay. I don't know if I also have, my second toe is longer than my first toe, and apparently it's supposed to mean that you're gonna cheat on your partner. And I was like,
no way. Wait, what is it?
If your second toe is longer than your first toe.
The second one.
Yeah. This is pretty long, too.
Longer than?
I can't see.
The first one? And the toe?
Then the big toe. Is it? I can't.
No, the toe is bigger.
Can't really tell. I just have really long toes. Like, I can grab stuff with it.
You sound like a monkey.
I mean, Darwin's evolution.
Yeah, truth.
Do you want to talk about witchcraft? Because that's where, like, my research started.
Oh, yeah, witchcraft. Well, I grew up in a very conservative Christian Catholic family. especially being Latin, you know, like, just part of our culture. But
you guys do have like certain superstitious things that aren't like related to other Catholic, Christian.
Yeah, like the saints and all that. It really correlates with Santeria, which is like voodoo mixed with Catholicism. But yeah, that's a lot of like Caribbean, Hispanics, other Latinos. But my family was very anti that. So I grew up very curious and it drew me into it. So I'm really into astrology.
Curiosity is a strong thing.
Yeah, you can't like tell an Aquarius not to do something because we will do it, you know?
I feel like it's also a thing that's because children are very like impressionable. There we go. So if you tell them not to do something, they'll obviously do it. It was like when my dad was like, Japanese people are horrible. And I was like, why though? And then now I'm just, I was obsessed with like anime and manga. And then I just went deeper and deeper. It's like you just threw me into something you don't want to throw me in. I feel like it's like that for a lot of Chinese kids. But you were saying.
No, that mine just drew me into tarot cards and astrology.
Yeah.
And it's...
Are you a big...
Haven't looked back since.
astrology, like...
Yes. I love astrology. Like, it's gotten a little overplayed at this point, though. Because it's... I can't even talk about it without someone being like, oh, you're one of those? I'm like, yup, I am.
excuse me. I feel like people who like astrology kind of... like talk about astrology with other people who are really into it too, but I'm kind of like, I kind of believe it, I kind of don't. I like to think that I have an excuse for why my week is going shitty, Mercury retrograde. But I like to read those funny articles where your sign is supposed to like dress a certain way or like
are
supposed
to like. You can't do that based off one sign.
Yeah,
like we're made up of like 10 signs.
Oh, I didn't know that, but I like to read funny ones like that. Yeah, those are just curious if I get bored and I'm like on the toilet or something and I see it.
Oh,
I'm just like,
I'm gonna be sending you stuff now. You told me that you have not like experienced it fully.
Yeah, apparently there's like a natal chart I need to do when somebody needs to like read it to me because I have
that's what we're gonna do after.
So we got the I guess natural remedies, we got like your generation. Well, has your mom or grandma taught you anything else besides like, I guess, physical health things, like kind of life values? Or I mean, you did touch upon it like with closeness of family, but anything else?
Yeah, no, just
not even when you were like going through puberty?
No,
yeah. It was like kind of they didn't.
Yeah, no. We don't talk about sex till this day.
Yeah, same with mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't. They just never talk about it.
There's a lot of taboo subjects.
Yeah. But does that play with, like, in your family's, like, religious values, or?
Honestly, I don't know why we're all so closed off.
Yeah.
It's more so prudeness. Prudence, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why either. Like, my mom will never say the word sex, and... they're also kind of they're conservative, so anything that's like not straight in sexuality wise, they will like not talk about. So I realize like a lot of my friends that kind of have immigrant parents or like their parents' parents were immigrants. We don't like talk about that stuff, so we kind of have to do our own kind of
internet thing,
or like asking friends who have parents that guide them through like this confusing like. Phase of like what's going on with my body. So we had to do like a lot of our own digging, and I wish that they would have.
I'm not gonna do that to my kids.
I just wish that I was more informed
girl
about certain things. I'm like the point of trying to figure out everything. I get so nervous about everything that's like not like I don't know that is normal. I like go on the internet and try to Google it.
Literally the internet is my mom.
But my sometimes stepmom. My mom likes to will talk about my period with me. She'll be like, your flow is too light. And I'm like, well, what is this supposed to be? She's like, you're supposed to be, like, changing every 2 hours or something. And I'm like, I think you're the one that's having problems.
Yeah, I don't think, at least you're getting your period.
Yeah, so she's like, that's, I'm like, your flow is heavy. My flow is, I think, fine. Because I had this, I think what scared her was when I first had my period, it would last really short and it would skip months, which is normal, like, when you first get it. When you first menstruate, it's normal to, like, have inconsistent periods, but she got, like, so scared that she's like, you're not gonna have children, you're, yeah, she's like, she's very anti, like, contraceptive, which,
yeah, my family,
yeah, she's
too.
Like, you're not, it's gonna make you, like, infertile. But I'm not very fond of children right now, or, like, in general, so. She was so upset when I said that. I'm like, you're not gonna... Yeah, I don't really like children. She was like,
Yeah, I'd cry too if you said that to me. You're like, what?
But, yeah. She's been very concerned about my period, but that's about it. Nothing about sex.
Yeah, that's forbidden.
Yeah, that's forbidden.
To talk about.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think I pretty much... You actually made me, like...
Okay, that's the heater.
Oh.
This old school heater. What you have to say?
Damn, no, nothing. Heater. That you just made me, like, think about my past and, like, old memories.
You, maybe inspired you to, I don't know, add stuff to your work?
Say so. Just made me nostalgic. I'm a very melancholic individual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm always in my head daydreaming in La La Land. So it was nice to have
you. Not the movie.
Yeah, not the movie. It's nice to have, like, more stuff to, like,
think about. Definitely. So, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Portillo. P-O-R-T-Y with three O's.
Yes.
Or my website, angelaportillo.com.
With one O. Okay, so that wraps it up. I think we had a pretty good session this time. I felt like we were a little bit everywhere last time.
Yeah.
We're talking about music and, like...
We're talking about everything.
Generational labels, which I won't get into because it makes older people upset or something.
Yeah. It's everything's complicated.
So thank you guys for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Angela is actually one of my models I forgot to mention. So she'll probably be on frequently. I will I'm not sure, either like formal sit down ones like this or just like, I don't know, candid background audio. I think those are a lot more interesting. So we're gonna wrap it up and I'm gonna say bye again. Bye guys.
Bye.
Poultice is produced and edited by me, Patty Wong. Today's guest is Angela Portillo. You can find her on Instagram at Portillo, P-O-R-T-I-Y, three O's, and her website is angelaportillo.com. Today's music is Scarborough Fair by Simon & Garfunkel.